Welcome to church. We've been talking about how we're broken. And even though we're broken, we're beloved. Can you say amen? Woo! You know, like there's some freedom that comes understanding that truth. Because for years, I really felt unworthy of God's presence. And the reality is that's true. But see, the enemy would allow that to turn into guilt instead of conviction, and I would flee God instead of run to him. And I'm so glad that things have changed in my life, that even though there's moments when I feel so broken, I understand that I'm loved. And so we've been talking about you seeking and finding, and especially over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about these issues of questions and doubt. Now, again, if you have a history in the church, you may have experienced this. This was very much my experience, that when I had questions, I was shut down. Andrew, this is a place of faith, and there's no place for questions. And I go, what in the world are you talking about? Like, my doubts were dismissed, and I was going, this is not building me. Right, and so for a long time, I found myself, really challenging the establishment and saying, I do have questions, and I'm not satisfied with not knowing. And you know what? So I went on a beautiful journey that made me stronger. And so we said over the last couple of weeks, it's okay to have doubts and questions. That God is bigger than all of your doubts. Amen. God is bigger than all of your questions. And here's the biblical principle: He wants you to seek Him. Be responsible in those questions and in those doubts, and they'll actually bring you closer to the Father. And last week, we had a story. We talked about this woman who had been suffering for 12 years. She had been in pain. Every year had gotten worse. It had cost her everything that she had, and yet we still find her reaching for Jesus. A faith that would reach. And on the other side of her reach, and there was a beautiful reward, and we talked about how God gives free refills. Well, we want to continue on that line, that train of thought even today. And I was thinking this week as I was kind of preparing, I was saying there's so many amazing victories that lie on the other side of pressing through the unthinkable, right? Now, maybe you've experienced that, right? Where have you ever been in a moment where you're saying, what in the world have I gotten myself into? And you're starting to question if you're going to survive. But you know what? You'll hold on, right? Maybe it was an encouragement from a brother and sister. Maybe it was a scripture that told you just to hold on, hold on. And you held on in the unthinkable. And all of a sudden, what happens? God comes to our rescue. And you experience beautiful, crazy things that you never would have experienced if you hadn't held on. I was thinking of Moses leading the people, right, out of Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea. The journey's over. Egyptians are pressing. We're all going to die. What if they had given up and just gone back, right? No. They saw the water split. Like, that's incredible to me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like, and I know Hollywood has tried to do this where they have these walls of water. Like, it would have been so cool to have been there. I would have been that guy touching it, even if it had come down. Like, don't touch it. I'm going to touch it, right? There's a shark right there. I want to punch him, right? And then pull my hand back, see if I can make it, right? See if I'm fast enough. Like, that would have been so fascinating to me, right? I was thinking, what if some of the spies who were sent into the promised land to scout, what if all they had saw were these giants, right? These people who were bigger, who were larger, these cities that were fortified. What if they had saw only the obstacles and they said, nope, going to have to find a new place to live. I know we just came out of the desert, but let's go somewhere else, right? They would have never tasted the milk and honey. And I think about that. Like, I think, like, the Bible is so vivid on those things. Like, there was joys and blessings all because they pressed in and went a little further. I was thinking of David and the giant. How many times in my life have I seen giants? And you're not always willing to run into battle with a giant, right? I mean, sometimes, hopefully, and I'm praying that as you mature, you stop seeing giants because you start seeing God. And that's what David did. Like, the whole army thought he was mental. Runs down to meet the giant. No armor, no nothing, but he found out what one stone could do. Incredible to me. Wow. Like, and Thomas, even doubting Thomas, I was thinking of this too. I said, Thomas, we say he doubted. No, he felt firsthand the scars of mercy. He put his hand in the side of Jesus' wound. Now, you tell me that's not intimate? I wouldn't care if they called me Doubting Andrew if I could have an experience like that. Are you kidding me? Like, the warmth of a Savior known in an incredibly new way. Wow. Wow. Incredible experiences, guys, waiting just beyond our questions. And so again, I hope that your questions and your doubts don't slow you. In fact, I hope that they are the thing that propel you even further into the goodness of God, that you would test and see that He is amazing. Like, again, last week, Cornwallis, I was challenging them, right? We've got some new people, churches new to them, and I was going, you need to challenge God. And people were like, is this guy serious? Yes. You can put God to the test. He's God. He's big enough. Like, you challenge Him. You pray. You see what happens this week when you cry out to an almighty God because He is listening. And more incredible, He answers. Woo! Like, that excites me, right? And so press in, press in. Well, I want to look at another story today that's always captivated me. When I was a kid, the little felt guys, you know, the little felt board that they had in Sunday school. This one always got me into trouble. It was the story of Jesus and Peter walking on water. Lots going on, lots of little felt pieces. I always got my hand slapped and had to go sit in the corner. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you missed a golden age of Sunday school. Anyway, that's fine. This is one of those stories that always captivate me. I want to give you a little bit of the background, and I'll slow down a little bit. Dave's looking at me saying, you slow down, you're speaking too fast. And that's fine. He keeps me accountable. Okay, but I get excited about this story. This is one of those stories that's very, very, very exciting. But here's what is happening coming up to that. Okay? Jesus' ministry is in full swing, right? And he's being bombarded by the thousands. And so people, everybody wants a piece of Jesus. We saw a little bit of that last week. And he was healing people, and he was teaching people. And in this portion of Scripture that we're going to look up in Matthew 14, he's doing some of the incredible teaching, talking in riddles. We come to call them the parables. He had just gotten word that his cousin John had been beheaded. This is a moment in his history where everything is threatened. Herod is trying to get rid of this new teaching, and John has been beheaded, and Jesus doesn't even take time to grieve because everybody wants a piece of him, and he's still performing miracles. In fact, it gets late in the day, and everybody's hungry, and so what does Jesus do? He feeds them. Again, an incredible miracle. They say the 5,000, it was more than 5,000. Women and children were not probably counted and tallied, so it could have been up to 20,000 people fed. It was just all this incredible stuff going on. And finally, it comes to the end of the day, and Jesus has got to be tired. And Jesus has got to be worn out. And a lot of people forget that Jesus hasn't even grieved yet. Someone who is very close to he and his family has lost his head, and he has that news, and he's holding all of those burdens, and he disappears. He says, you guys go across the lake. I'll meet you on the other side. And they're thinking, well, how is he going to get here? We got the only boat. But anyway, listen, he's had a busy day, and we're just going to go. We're going to listen. So he says, you go ahead, and it says he gets alone to pray. Okay, starting to read at verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone, and the boat was already considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. The disciples saw him walking on the lake, and they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Peter replied, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind then died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, again, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, my land, like the people who say the Bible is boring, I don't know which book they're reading. Because the Bible is anything but boring, right? When you think of these stories, I remember this captivating me so much as a kid. Like, this is a little silly, but this is childlike faith trying to figure things out, right? Trying to test God and trying to take my doubts to him and do all those things. I remember being at the lake on the end of the dock, going, all right, I believe. Ah, I didn't believe it all, right? And this is funny because that happened more than once. Year after year, I'd be on the end of the dock. I'd be going, okay, I believe. Nope, not yet, right? And so it was kind of this little test of faith that I had. It was kind of interesting. But when you think about this story has so much. Jesus is depleted. He's given us so many good principles to live by. He tells the disciples to go ahead. Again, this group had fishermen, seasoned sailors, right? And they're going, and all of a sudden, the wind is pushing them back. They can't quite get across the lake. They start to get a little scared. The wind is picking up even further. You think of all of the stories of mariners and sailors and all those things that all of a sudden, there's a ghost, right? And you think of that, like some of those stories, when something bad's going to happen, you're going to see a premonition, right? When a disaster's about to strike, you're going to see things that you can't explain. They think they see a ghost, right? Some of those that see tradition. And Jesus immediately says, whoa, hold on, it's me. Right? And what does Peter do? Peter opens his dumb mouth and says, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And he says, okay, come. And Peter's like, oh, man, what did I just ask? Right? Like, all of this amazing story comes. And it's kind of a fun story. It's one of those deals where I go, wow. Like ever since I was a child, I was captivated. Even as an adult, I'm captivated by all the things that were happening that night. And I want to talk about that today. Here's some truth for you today. Do you know that God is not always going to meet you in comfortable places? Now, we understand that. As a believer, as you live your life, as you walk in your faith, as you walk with your God, seasons will show to you that it's not always a comfortable place. Right? Too many times when I was a kid, I heard it say, just bring it to Jesus and everything's going to be perfect. Liars. Right? Just bring it to Jesus and everything's going to be okay. And I'm like, dude, if this is okay, I really need to talk to you about your definition of okay, right? It was funny, like even Lyndon, I remember Lyndon Raymond, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if I did it in the second service. But Lyndon waited 5 years to be baptized. Why did he wait so long? He waited 5 years because he felt so unworthy. And he would come to me, and he'd say, Andrew, he said, I'm really unworthy of that. And I said, that's right. You need to be baptized. And that would not be helpful. And for 5 years, I would always give him the same answer. Man, I really feel like I need to be baptized, but I am not worthy. I'm saying, you're right. You need to be baptized. And he's going, but you tell me I'm not worthy. I said, you're not. And over 5 years, it took him, and I said, you know what? I'm not worthy to be baptized, but there came a point where I was obedient. You're not worthy to be baptized, but I'm hoping there comes a point where you're obedient. And finally, I got him to sit down, because he's an old fisherman, doesn't like technology. You want to see something funny, send him a text. 2 months later, what do you need? Right? And it's all spelt wrong, and it's funny. But anyway, so he doesn't know technology. Finally, after 5 years, I got him to sit down on his own and watch The Passion of the Christ. And he said, Andrew, he said, I am not worthy. And I said, you're right. And he said, but I finally get it. He's done enough. I said, yeah. And I said, now here's the encouraging part, Lyndon. We cried together. He made a plan to be baptized that summer. And I said, once we're baptized, I want you to know something. That's when the battle begins. And he goes, oh, what are you talking about? I said, Now you're going to find out how much the devil is after you because you're taking a step of obedience, which means there's going to be attacks that are coming. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. Oh, you're screwed, right? I wanted to be honest with him. And it was funny because he gets baptized. It was the most beautiful time, and some people and some friends and some family of the church, they were there, and it was one of those beautiful moments. It's a moment I'll never forget. I'll never forget the panic in his voice a week later when he called me, and he goes, you were right! And I'm going, I was right about what? He says, my life has gone sideways. He says, the devil is out attacking me. He says, and I blame you. And I said, don't blame me. Blame your obedience. I said, here's the truth. If the devil wasn't after you, it's because he already has you. So praise the Lord. It's been tough. He didn't like that perspective. But it was a beautiful thing for him to experience. You know that God doesn't always meet you in comfortable places. There is times when things will go sideways. And I want to be real with you to say that, again, once you start this journey with the Lord, there is an enemy. And again, he cannot attack God Almighty. Why? Because God Almighty knows no vulnerability. God has already won the war. So what does the enemy do? The enemy can't hurt the Father one-on-one, so he hurts the Father by hurting you. And you are always in his crosshairs, always in his crosshairs, always in his crosshairs. You're the only option the enemy has. If he can hurt you, that's his way of hurting the Father. His desire is for you to be dead. It's amazing. And so there's going to be uncomfortable times. There's going to be times where you say, Lord, I got into the boat. You told me to go to the other side, but you should have told me the storms that were coming. Well, he did. Scripture is very, very clear that he doesn't call us to comfortable places. That there's going to be many times when unplanned things happen, when fear will set in, when doubts will surface. In fact, as a human, that is where you're at your best. Right? And I say that by saying this. How many of you have ever prayed this prayer? It's a very simple prayer. It just goes like this. Help! Did you ever pray that prayer? I decided not to scream into the mic. When Olive Davis was still alive, I did that one day. She went 3 feet off her seat. It was the most amazing thing. She was 86 at the time. Woo! Anyway, I don't scream into the mic anymore, right? But have you ever been there where you had to cry out help? Of course you have. And you say, you know what? Oh, as the longer you walk with the Lord, the easier it gets. I've heard people say that. That's not true. That's not true. Okay? I still have those prayers where I have to call out for help. In fact, I do it quicker and more often than I ever did before because I understand that I am dependent absolutely upon an amazing, grace-filled, mercy-filled Father, and I need him every hour. And so I find myself praying to him. And what happens is those uncomfortable places aren't so uncomfortable. And it's not because the circumstances changed. It's because I'm reminded who's with me. That's what changes. That, yes, I am not strong enough, but he's with me. I'm not smart enough, but he's with me. I don't know the way, but the way is with me, right? All of those things come about. In fact, it's kind of amazing that Hebrews 13:5, again, this principle, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So when the darkness comes and the struggles come, and guess what? They will. You need to take captive every thought. Why? Because the Lion of Judah has your back. The Lion of Judah has your back. What can touch it? You know what I do now? Like, the more mature I've become, I brace myself. I'm like, hold off, God. Like, I know. The Lion of Judah is right here, right? Let them get closer. It's like, you know, when you think of those old redcoats when they used to do war stupid ways, and they're all sitting, and they're, hold, and people are coming, hold, and they're waiting till they get closer. Why? Because they want the first blow to be the most damaging, right? And I do that. I brace myself, because when he roars, I know that he can knock me over, and I'm like, just hold on. This will be fun. Hold on. All right? And it's this warrior within me that says, nothing can touch me, because the Lion of Judah has my back. It's a lot more comfortable understanding that he's already won, amen? And I have to take captive that thought. Is it because I'm in a comfortable place? No. But in an uncomfortable place, I know who's with me. And he's already won. It's the most amazing, beautiful thing. And I got to remind you again, his goal is not your happiness. Happiness will leave you a mess. Happiness is momentary. His goal for you is holiness. And what comes with holiness is something way better than happiness. It's joy and peace. And joy and peace changes your life. Happiness is fleeting. Holiness is forever. It's eternal. Incredible, incredible, incredible. And so know this, that tough times are going to come. And Jesus did not hide this. In fact, Matthew 16, 24 to 26, he tells you to pick up your cross. And we're not talking about this beautiful thing that we hang around our neck or put in our ears as jewelry. We're talking about an instrument of torture. You need to pick up your cross. It's uncomfortable. It's crushing. It's painful. And Jesus goes on to say, you want to gain your life? Then you better be ready to lose it. Oh, tell me more. It's so exciting. Yes, sign me up, please. That's sarcasm. I just had to tell Larry. He told us we would be uncomfortable. He told us hard times would come. But again, he already told us that he would never leave us. You see, here's the truth, that the God on the mountaintop, when we are glory, when we are reveling in his presence, that God of the mountaintop who's showing us vision that we cannot even fathom, that God of the mountaintop, he's still the same God in the darkest of valleys. He doesn't leave you. Is it going to be hard? Yes. That's why he doesn't leave you. It's beautiful. And it's his design. And here's the truth. in my darkest hours, in my most uncomfortable places, and I can take you, boy, we would have pots of coffee if I was to go over a testimony, the story that God has given me. In the darkest times, that's when God has been more real. That's when his presence has been more real to me than any other time. Like, it's funny to me, when you start off this Christian walk, like, you worry. You fear the unknown. You fear the battles. You fear. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more you embrace the hardness, because God shines through. That when I feel, I said I wasn't going to cry, but when I feel like everything is lost, it's incredible to me, because I go, Lord, you've got to come through. And then I wait. I'm never, never amazed. At this point in my life, in my journey, I am never amazed when God comes through. I'm always in awe. Because when the unthinkable and the uncomfortable is happening, I'm going, there's nothing that can save me but him. Then I brace myself. I said, Dad, it's going to roar. It's amazing to me. In fact, even in the uncomfortable times, it's that whole deal. I was challenging first service to say this, to say, you know what? There comes a place in your life where the uncomfortable brings excitement. Why? Because you've turned from a believer to a warrior. Right? And so the devil, when he's on the attack, you're like, oh, somebody's going to be bleeding today. And you're not thinking about yourself. You've got the Lion of Judah. It's like, whoo! He's stupid. Let's remind him, Lord. And I get excited about the battle. Why? Because I know that my King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who promises to never leave me, who tells me his strength is going to be sufficient, he's the one who wins the day. And when the devil's stupid enough, oh, baby, hold. Just wait a second. This is going to be awesome. There's an excitement that comes with the uncomfortable, and I want to tell you this. You may not be there today, but I want you to know that the darker the valleys become, the brighter God will shine if you would only hold on. Don't let doubt and fear stop you. If anything, let it inspire you. Take captive those thoughts and those doubts and be responsible with them, and remind yourself that the one, the master of all of the universe doesn't leave your side. I said it last week. I might have said it in Cornwallis, but it's that principle that if you are going through hell, don't stop. You're going through hell. Press on. And get to the other side. So again, if you are here today and you're saying, man, faith is new to me, I want you to know that God is not always going to meet you in very comfortable places. It's just the contrary. He tells us that there is going to be some amazing hard times to come. The beauty is that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That he is the way and he will lead you through it. The second thing that I was looking about at this whole story is that there's times, and I need to tell you, church, there is times, you got to hear me, church, there is times when God doesn't make sense. I remember a couple of years ago, there was some people visiting, and I said, God is certifiable. I was preaching about God's craziness. God is certified. They were very uncomfortable. It was awesome. They said, we really need to talk to you after. But there's the reality of it. You know that God is not always going to make sense. Why? Because his ways are so much higher than yours. There is times when you are making judgment calls on only what you can see and feel and the experiences that you have had. God is so much bigger than what you can see and feel and the experiences that you have had. And there's going to be times when it doesn't make sense, right? And sometimes you're going to put your mouth in action before your brain gets in gear. And you're going to say, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus is going to say, come on. And you're like, oh, man, did I just step in it? What in the world did I pray? Right? Like Peter must have been going, ah, stupid, shut up next time, you stupid, don't open your mouth, right? And so he says, come to me on the water. And what does Peter do? He's like, whoa, all right, now you're asking me to do the unthinkable. And there's going to be times when God asks you to do the unthinkable where he's going to say, now you need to get out of the boat. Now this is the sad part, and I want to be real with you, church. There is believers that I have known all my life, some of which have gone to be with the Lord. Were they saved? I have to believe they were saved, because my theology would say that, yes, they were children of the King. Mercy and grace is huge. Now, here's the interesting thing. They never, ever became warriors because they refused to get out of the boat. So they lived a life that was safe, but sad. Hardships still came, and their faith got them through, but I never watched them grow. And that made me sad. That there's times when God is going to say to you, and maybe he's been saying to you even over the last year or the last few weeks, or maybe it's just today, you need to get out of the boat, and you're saying, that is unthinkable, that is insane. No. Going to take a step. Whoosh. So God says, get out of the boat. And you say, no, I've tried it 100 times. I'm not getting out of the boat. I sink. Get out of the boat. Nope. Get out of the boat. Wind. Nope. Wind's still too strong. Get out of the boat. And they will spend their lives arguing with God who beckons them to come. Do you know that God is going to ask you to do the unthinkable thing sometimes? To jump out of the boat. To jump out of the boat. I was reading about the Underground Railroad. And I'm always fascinated by this, but Levi Coffin was one of those fellers who was working with the Underground Railroad, and over 3,000 people went to freedom through him standing in defiance of a government. So he had to live very cautiously, because at any moment that he was found out that he was smuggling people across the border, he would have been tried with treason, probably shot. And it was kind of interesting that, you know, some of the interviews and some of the things and some of his journals, he said this one thing. He said, first we leap, then we grow wings. Oh. Do you know that God is going to ask you that? That there'll be times he'll ask you to leap, and you'll say, that makes no sense. That's unthinkable. That makes no sense. Are you certifiable? Jump. And all you could think of is 1,000 times that you've sunk down because you took that one step. This is inappropriate. I said it to the. You think I'm gonna fall and get a groin shot right there on the side of the boat? It's Lord, I can't do it. He's gonna say, get out of the boat. And you're gonna say, that's unthinkable. First we leap, then we grow wings. You see, every believer wants to see the mountains move. I've met very few believers who are willing to speak them into the sea. You were made for more. But that's unthinkable. Like, I come back to, time and time again, the scripture where Jesus said, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will do greater things than I have done. You can't do it from the boat, folks. There is mountains. Let me say this, and I'm only going to say it once because I don't want anybody to feel guilt. That's not what this is about. This is about living the life that you were designed to live, but so often you're going to get to heaven, praise Jesus, and Jesus is going to go, ah, welcome home. Boy, did you ever miss out. And he's going to giggle, because what you said no to, he's going to find the Isaiah that says, here am I, Lord, send me. That's the kind of adventure I want. I want to get to heaven, and he's going to go, dude, wow, that was awesome. And I was like, oh, man, yeah, it was, right? And we're going to talk about the crazy adventures and the unthinkable things and the mountains that moved. Why? Because I was willing to speak it. There's mountains that are ready to move in your life, but it's unthinkable to you. See, you're doing it wrong. I'm going to leave it there. Whew. Smith Wigglesworth, he was an evangelist. If you study the Pentecostal movement, you'll undoubtedly find his name. Smith Wigglesworth, he said this, I'm not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I feel. I am moved only by what I believe. That's a crazy statement about the unthinkable. And here's the reality, that when God is asking you to do the unthinkable, you know what? There'll be a peace. Does it make it any less logical? Nope. But there'll be a peace. There'll be a confidence. There'll be one of these. Oh. Woo! Right? The people who are listening to the podcast are going, what in the world just happened? That's what you miss when you don't come to church. Plus, I'm as beautiful as I sound. Missing out. Price of admission, right? Think about that with me. Think about that with me. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I am moved only by what I believe. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You are to live by faith, not by sight. Like Jesus talks about that. Yeah. Wow. You guys have experienced it and you believe. That's amazing. But guess what? There are going to be those who haven't seen any of it, and they're going to believe. Heroes. When the peace is there, there is an adventure in getting out of the boat. And here's the deal. You say, Andrew, he said, wow, I don't know. My faith is pretty fickle. Like, you know what? I could see myself as Peter. Again, that's why the Bible is so raw. I will look at the waves. That's my nature. That's the way God designed me. I'm going to feel the wind. It's going to distract. Okay. So here's the last thing that I want you to look at. Here's the beauty despite the storm. That even when you start sinking, the truth is he will grab your hand. We fear what we ought not to fear. Because mountains are waiting to move. But we fear what we ought not to fear. So get this. Speaking of Peter, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord chastised him, lectured him on theology, and watched him sink to the bottom. And there he lies to this day. Sad story. No. That would be crazy. Right? And if you're listening on the podcast, keep listening. Right? That didn't happen. Lord, save me, it says Peter cried. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. Immediately he caught him. You see, it wasn't in the success that Jesus was impressed. It was in the obedience that got out of the boat. And again, if you could capture that and wrestle it to the ground, you'd say, I can't do that. It's unthinkable. Yes. Is there a peace? Then leap. It's on him to grow wings. Again, it's not about your success. It's about the obedience. The success is God's job. You know, it amazes me that there are so many that will never experience the adventure that God has before them. Are they going to get to heaven? I believe they will. God is merciful and grace-filled. It's amazing. There's going to be a whole bunch of Christians that get to heaven, but they were pretty useless in the journey here on earth. God is calling you right here, right now, in this time. We're living the last days. I believe it with all my mind. I believe that the Maritimes is going to be the beginning of an incredible revival that's going to sweep across Canada and get the world's attention, and it's ushering in the last days, and I believe that God has chosen you to be a part of that. I believe it with all my heart. And there's going to be some of you safely get to heaven. Still going to be hard. Still going to be hard times. You're going to get there. Woo! Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. But there are mountains that you could see moving right today if you would only believe. That is so real to me. It's so real to me. Wow. I don't want us to miss out on the blessings that lie on the other side of obedience, that you would understand that you were a warrior, that when the enemy comes close, that here's the difference. All of a sudden, the demons and the enemy would start to know your name. Why? Because you are changing eternity with your obedience, that you are willing to get out of the boat, that mountains are going to move, that giants are going to fall, and everybody's going to go, wow, what has happened? You know what's happened? You've changed. Your faith has moved to another level, that you are now a warrior of Christ, that you do the unthinkable. Why? Because you're listening to the one who is certifiable, and he is commanding you and giving you a peace that you cannot understand, and it's going to be insane what we experience. It's going to be insane. Oh, that you would be excited about that. Like, woo! Like, life gets better when you understand that he's already coming to your rescue. What do I fear? I don't. It's not Andrew's name that's on the line. What do I fear? I don't. Because even in the unthinkable, he's already coming to my rescue, but I'm seeing mountains move. Wow! I want to tell you that take the world, but give me Jesus. Like, how else can you say it? Anyway, everybody stand. Whew, we got to get out of here. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I'm getting gross. Everybody bow your heads real quick. Here's the truth. There are victories that lie on the other side of obedience. Praise God. That there are mountains that are waiting to move. That there will be moments when you will walk on water. But you got to believe. I can guarantee you right now out of the gate, it will not be comfortable. I can guarantee you right now that it will not be logical. I can guarantee you right now that it's not about your success. When all those things are understood and they align, eternity will change. Because you'll understand what it is to get out of the boat and you'll be walking on water, baby. Oof. Those seasons of not hearing God are very, 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 very rare if you are doing this right. Because God is screaming to his people. Right? I just need you to know that. Anyway, let's pray. God, I can't be any clearer than I've been. And Father, I am so excited about what you're doing in the Maritimes, what you're doing in Digby County. I am so excited. I'm so excited. I see what is ahead. That you would choose us for this time, for this moment, to usher in the end days. I get so pumped. I feel so honored. Is it nerve-wracking? Absolutely, but it's got to be exciting. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Woo! And Lord, the freakish things that are going to take place, I am so excited. I am so excited about the unthinkable. I'm thinking about the unthinkable. Oh, Father God, let us get out of the boat. Life is so much better. That's it. Amen.